This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in once again to the radio show. My name is JD. We are live right now. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast on your very favorite network for truth and alternative information, Truth Frequency Radio. You can find us at truthfrequencyradio.com, and I really appreciate all of you guys supporting the network. Holy cow. Amazing. The growth at the network recently has just been absolutely outstanding. The new hosts are coming over in droves, and I'm just really excited to be a part of it all. Really appreciate the forum that Chris and Cherie have built here by having this chat room available. There's a few new people in the chat room this morning. So for you new kids out there, really appreciate you guys tuning in and making your way over to the chat space at Truth Frequency Radio. I love it because it gives us an opportunity to chat kind of back and forth before and during the show. You know, during the first hour, we go over all the news, and there's a lot of great conversation that goes on in the chat room regarding that. And then usually in the second hour, there's no shortage of questions for our guests also coming out of the chat room. And today, you guys are going to have a lot of them. I can guarantee it. Today is going to be an amazing show. Let me get back on track with my introduction here, Truth Frequency Radio. Yep, today is, in fact, the 21st day of April, 2015, so it is a Tuesday. I want to clarify just quickly for anybody who might have been confused out there. When I was talking about the holiday yesterday and reminding people to be safe, I was not speaking about Hitler's birthday. I had no idea that it was Hitler's birthday. What an unfortunate coincidence it is that Hitler's birthday happens to fall on the best day of the year, the 20th of April. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify, was not suggesting everybody go out and celebrate Hitler's birthday. But anyway, hope you guys had a great day yesterday. Even though it was a Monday, it was a holiday. Hope you guys enjoyed it and were safe. Definitely moving through the week here. We're going to have some good shows. Jamie Hanshaw today, I mentioned this a second ago. We're going to be talking about, well, let me just back up. So Jamie Hanshaw is a mind control expert and an expert also in occult isms and things like that. We're going to really delve into the Disney Corporation today. We're going to talk about the history of Walt Disney as well as the company. If you guys have children out there and you're letting them watch this stuff, there's probably a lot of things kind of going on subliminally with the Disney Channel presentations. And also with the, you got the Disney kids growing up to be mind control crazy people like Britney Spears and all that. I don't know. This to me seems to be a lot of things going on with the Disney organization, and there's nobody I can think of that would be better to help us dig our way through all of that nonsense than Jamie Hanshaw. So that's why she is going to be on the show in about an hour. Really looking forward to that. My goodness, the chat room is filling up. There are some new people in there. Really appreciate you guys hanging out. We're still waiting for Mr. Kev Baker. I know he sleeps a lot, but just want to remind you guys, Kev Baker is going to be on my show tomorrow for the whole 2 hours. I have no idea what we're going to do. I'll probably talk about the news and all kinds of things that are going on. I'm really itching to get his perspective on a few things, especially because we have a lot of UK listeners out there. So if you guys want to tune in for that show and have questions for Kevin, first and foremost, we got to ask the guy when he sleeps. I think everybody out there who pays attention to Kevin's show probably wants to know the answer to that question. So aside from that, I'm lost. So if you guys have questions for Kevin, definitely hit me up, send me an email, or be here tomorrow because you won't want to miss that. Thursday is going to be a remarkably interesting show because we're going to kind of be talking about natural health again, but in a different way from the standpoint of natural healing with Aboriginal tribes. This gentleman that we're having on, Gary Holes, very, very interesting guy. He's written a lot of books. But mostly talking about the spirituality and the healing that are practiced by shamanistic aboriginals, I guess would be the best way to put that. Really, really interesting stuff. You guys won't want to miss that. And of course, Joel Karsten's going to be joining us on Friday. We're going to get you guys all squared away on your strawberry gardens. We'll answer all of your questions about strawberry gardens, tell you where you can get Joel's absolutely amazing book. Again, you know, I don't have any corporate sponsorship. If I tell you guys to get a book, it's only because I love it. I don't get any credit for doing it. It's just because I find these things to be so awesome. And I'll tell you, his book on strawberry gardens is not just a book for you to have to learn and go through one time. I mean, there's diagrams in here. It's full color pictures. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. If you've got somebody who wants to learn how to garden without freaking having to weed, which is right up my alley, guys, because I am super lazy. I'm not going to lie. Anyway, that's what the rest of the week looks like. Really appreciate you guys being here and appreciate all of the support you guys are showing to the network and to my show and all the other hosts and things like that. Want to give one other quick announcement, and I can't believe I forgot to do this yesterday. I really should have done this yesterday. Our good friends here at Truth Frequency, you guys might know them by the name of Aaron and Mel. Well, on Patriots Day, over the weekend, Aaron and Mel did in fact become Aaron and Mel. Isn't that amazing, ladies and gentlemen? So what I'm talking about, of course, is their wedding. They actually got married on Patriots Day, and oh my gosh, beautiful, beautiful ceremony, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful union of two like-minded truth seekers. Just so exciting to see them blossoming into what they are becoming. And if you guys have a minute, please go to TrueStream Media and send them an email of congratulations. Just a nice little note. Say thank you guys for all you're doing. And man, just so cool that they got married over the weekend. Really, really cool. And I forgot to mention that yesterday, so I wanted to get that done. Okay, that's pretty much all the housekeeping we've got this morning. Let's move on to the news, because there is a lot of it, ladies and gentlemen. We do have some economic stuff happening in the Greece arena right now. They have been batting Greece back and forth between Russia and the Troika for like 2 weeks now. And I think it's starting to come to a head. We had that story Friday about all bets essentially being off. And by all bets being off, I mean the bookies that were taking bets on whether or not Greece would leave the euro. They stopped taking bets over the weekend. So which way is that wind going to blow? I don't know. But again, there's some pretty staunch economic news coming out about Greece. And so when we get into the economic stuff here in a little bit, I will get into that. Let's start with the international news here, because again, lots of things going on right now. The leaders of Greece's third largest political party, the extreme right Golden Dawn, they went on trial yesterday on charges of operating as a criminal organization that allegedly carried out a campaign of violence against immigrants and left-wing opponents. The party leader, Nikos Mikoliakos, and senior officials are among 69 defendants in the case. And founded by him as a tiny neo-Nazi organization back in the mid-1980s, Golden Dawn transformed from being a marginal far-right group to a popular political party during the financial crisis that started in 2009. It won 6.28% of the vote in general elections 3 months ago, despite having state campaign funding axed. And the trial will be held inside a maximum security prison near Athens, where nearby schools and municipal services will be closed, most likely for the week, over fears that several anti-Golden Dawn demonstrators planned in the area, these demonstrations could turn violent. So again, the leaders of Greece's third largest political party are going on trial. They actually went on trial starting yesterday, and that trial will be going on through the rest of the week. 69 of them in total, part of this extreme right Golden Dawn political party there in Greece. So that's the big political international news about Greece. Again, we've got some more economic stuff, but I want to get through a couple other international stories right now. So in a stepped up response to Iranian backing of the Shiite rebels in Yemen, the Navy aircraft carrier USS Theodore Roosevelt is steaming towards the waters off of Yemen, allegedly to beef up security and to join other American ships that are preparing to intercept any Iranian vessels carrying weapons to the Houthi rebels. So again, we see the situation in Yemen continuing to unfold, and it continues to escalate. We're not seeing any de-escalation, despite the fact that Iran has come out and asked for some sort of humanitarian ceasefire. Also, Russia doing the same thing, asking so, you know, that people take a chill pill here. And let's get to the bottom of what's actually going on. Because diplomacy doesn't usually go through at the tip of a missile. But again, the United States is sending the USS Roosevelt to meet the Iranian. I think it was between 7 and 9 in the Iranian armada that we mentioned yesterday, heading to the coast of Yemen. So again, if we get more information about what is going on there, we will certainly keep you in the loop on that. But the USS Roosevelt, if you guys don't know, is a very large aircraft carrier. They have the F-18 fighter jets and things like that. So they're probably not going over there just to, you know, hang out in the water. I don't think they're bringing gifts to Iran or anything like that in terms of this this warship heading to the Yemen area. Anyway, that's what's going on in Yemen right now. Houthis also are vowing resistance, even though the Saudi-led coalition has effectively destroyed about 90% of the targets apparently in Yemen right now. So again, the Yemeni people, according to the Houthi rebel leader, have a full right to resist the Saudi aggression and a planned occupation by all means and options. And this is a statement that was made again by a Houthi rebel leader yesterday as Riyadh wrapped up the first phase of an operation which has seen more than 2,300 airstrikes on Yemen in the last month. Saudi Arabia's goal, apparently, again, according to this Houthi rebel leader, is invasion and occupation of Yemen in order to place this country again under its feet and hegemony. So the Saudi-led airstrike campaign is entering its 27th day today. And this Houthi rebel goes on to say that our Yemeni people will never give in. It will resist in the face of savage aggression. Saudi Arabia has no right to interfere in its neighbor affairs. He also stated that Iran, which some have accused of supporting the rebels, actually has no influence in the country. And at the same time, the rebel leader condemned the unfair UN Security Council resolution passed earlier this week, which endorsed an arms embargo on the Houthis and their supporters. So this arms embargo obviously led to Iran sending their armada potentially to rearm the Houthi rebels. Waiting to see about that, which is, of course, now escalating the United States' response and sending the USS Roosevelt to the area there. So, again, not really sure what's going to happen in the long run, but we will keep an eye on it for you guys. Wow, chat room is really filling up. Some latecomers now. Appreciate you guys being in there. John Titer and PRC, nice to see you guys this morning. Also, just as a side note, there's a little bit of this is more of an American story, but I'm going to put it into the international story section because it has a lot of ramifications on international news in the long run. Really, what it comes down to is that President Barack Obama has been pushing to close the detention facility at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, and Republicans have kind of been riding him, talking about the fact that any of these prisoners that get released, there's a pretty strong likelihood that they're going to go back and join some terrorist groups. Well, there's been some hard numbers now that have come out and have been recently touted by Republicans. And again, these numbers have to do with how many of these Guantanamo inmates or former Guantanamo inmates are going back and reengaging in terrorism. So nearly 18%, according to these recently provided statistics. Funny enough, they were recently provided by the Obama administration to these Republicans as well. But again, nearly 18% of these former Guantanamo inmates have been confirmed to reengage in terrorism. So they've already gone back to the battlefield. And another 11% are suspected of returning to terrorist activity. So another 11% we just have not confirmed actually on the battlefield yet. So again, that's a pretty big number. That's almost a third, right? It's about, what, 29% there potentially of anybody that we release from Guantanamo returning to terrorism activity in the Middle East. Not good. Not good right now. Kind of harkens back to the guy that we killed the other day who had a $5 billion or a $5 million reward on his head. One of the guys that I think we released for Bergdahl, if I'm not mistaken. Hey, good morning. Kev Baker in the chat room right now, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my gosh, so much fun in the morning. Even the other hosts are tuning in. What a great show Kev did the other day. I'm still trying to scrape my brain back together from the Friday night show with Anthony Patch. Just unbelievable stuff. Love working with these guys here at the network. And if you guys are not listening to Kev Baker's show in the afternoons here in the United States, you are not doing yourself a service at all, ladies and gentlemen, because he and Marty both go into so much detail about the news, things that I miss, and I just love it. I try and go quick, and he really takes a much closer look at some of the bigger stories. And between the two shows, I think you really have a good chance of figuring out what exactly is going on. And there's a lot of other great shows, too. I don't want to discount listening to people like Roger Sales' show or Robert Bruce's show or, of course, Popeye and Joe Joseph. Just such amazing people here. Anyway, okay, getting back on track here. The Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, was on Monday given a 14-day extension to form a new government. He is struggling right now to build a coalition after 4 weeks of intensive talks. And such a move is not really unusual in Israel, where it's almost unheard of for a single party to win an outright majority. And lengthy negotiations with multiple potential coalition partners are pretty much the norm. But following last month's general election in which in which Mr. Netanyahu's right-wing Likud party won the largest number of seats, the Israeli prime minister was on the March 25th tasked by the Rivlin with forming a new government. He was given 28 days at the time to complete the task, but with the Wednesday deadline looming and no agreement in sight, he went to Rivlin early on Monday to request the extension. So Netanyahu now has until May 6th to decide on the lineup of his next government, with his preference for a coalition with Likud's natural allies, the right wing and religious parties. But whatever the shape of the next coalition government, it will have to hit the ground running in order to shore up its shattered ties with the administration of U.S. President Barack Obama and address divisions at home. It will also have to handle an emerging nuclear deal with Iran, vehemently opposed by Netanyahu, as well as the imminent threat of Palestinian legal action at the International Criminal Court. So again, Bibi Netanyahu got a 2-week extension to continue to try and form some sort of coalition government there, but he has got his work cut out for him, apparently. And even when he does, he has definitely got to hit the ground running. Also, let's move on to the Ukraine right now. There's a little bit more news coming out of the Ukraine. Nearly 300 U.S. soldiers have now arrived in the Ukraine to act as trainers for this county's newly formed National Guard as part of what is being called Operation Fearless Guardian. The operation involved paratroopers, and it will last for about 6 months, according to statements by the U.S. Army. Canada is also taking part in the operation, and President Vladimir Putin issued a statement Friday rebuking the troops' arrival. He said the participation of instructors and specialists from a third country on the territory of Ukraine, where an unresolved intra-Ukrainian conflict remains, where problems persist in carrying out the Minsk agreement, is far from helping resolve the conflict. In contrary, it enables destabilizing the situation. That was a quote, again, from Russian President Vladimir Putin. I completely agree with that. This, putting trainers on the ground. We're also using Poland as a proxy to bring more equipment in, and we're training their trainers so that their trainers can come in and help train the people who need training in the Ukraine, apparently. So again, I completely agree with Russia on this one. This is just more proxy war, trying to basically hedge our bets that this junta government that we put in power there stays in power. And I don't know how well that's going to work out, but my hearts and prayers go out to the people of eastern Ukraine, especially right now, because it's just an absolute abomination what's going on there. Okay, hopping into we had that story, I want to say it was yesterday. Sometimes I can't remember all the way back to a whole day, but I think it was yesterday we talked about the Mexican officials arresting the leader of the Gulf Cartel. I think they arrested the leader of the Gulf Cartel. His name was Jose, in the city of Reynosa. But I forgot to mention, well, I didn't really know at the time, so it was difficult to mention, but also in that same story, Mexican officials also said they captured the leader of the Juarez cartel, who is Jesus Salas Aguayo, and he's a man in charge of the gang's operation in Juarez during a convulsion of violence that made the city one of the world's most murderous. So this guy's name, Mr. Salas, was arrested Friday again in the town of Villa Ahamuda, about 80 miles south of the Texas border. So again, this was kind of that whole big shebang that went down Friday, and early in the news on Saturday, they basically went in, the police forces had a big firefight after they arrested Mr. Salas. It was actually his supporters and employees that went to the streets and were burning cars and firing shots at law enforcement officers. But they did, in fact, arrest the leader of the Juarez and the Gulf Cartel over the weekend. So interesting stuff going on in Mexico right now. We have to wonder if President Nieto is going to be successful in actually cleaning out the country of corruption. He's got his work cut out for him, especially because after these Juarez and Gulf cartels are cleaned out, their influence hasn't really gone away, and a lot of the other smaller factions, smaller leaders, have splintered off into these other rival gangs that are smaller but just as powerful. So is this going to be a really long drawn out cleanup effort? I think it probably will be, but still good news for the people in Mexico. Hey, here's an idea. How about we end prohibition? I know. It's an out there concept, but again, these drug cartel people and the CIA, it should probably be mentioned, make a lot of money from trafficking drugs. And maybe if we cut the legs out from them, from underneath them economically, we could actually fix the world. I don't know. Just a thought. Okay, let's move into some national news right now, hop into the United States and get you guys up to date on what's going on here. Six Minnesota men have been charged with terrorism in a criminal complaint unsealed on Monday. The latest Westerners accused of traveling or attempting to travel to Syria to join the Islamic State. These six, whom authorities describe as friends who met secretly to plan their travels, are accused of conspiracy to provide material support and attempting to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization. The complaint says the men plan to reach Syria by flying to nearby countries from Minneapolis, San Diego, or New York, and they lied to federal investigators when they were stopped. These six men were arrested Sunday in Minneapolis and San Diego and are scheduled to make initial court appearances in federal court this week. These people are the latest from Minnesota to be charged in an investigation stretching back months into the recruitment of Westerners by ISIS. Authorities said earlier that a handful of Minnesota residents have already traveled to Syria to fight with militants in the past year, and at least one of them has died. The complaint relies in part on material from a confidential informant, FBI, who had himself conspired to join ISIS before he changed his mind and went to authorities. Okay, maybe it wasn't an FBI, guys. But in some of the informant's conversations with the six men are recorded and were recorded. I didn't know this, but Minneapolis is actually home to the largest concentration of Somali immigrants in the United States. And since 2007, more than 22 young Somali men have also traveled from Minnesota to Somalia to join the militant group Al-Shabaab. I did not know that, but it is also on the list of places to receive a whole slew of new refugees from around the world. Obviously, the EU is not doing what they need to do, apparently, according to people in Italy, you know, to step up and try and curb the incursion of these refugees as they're basically leaving the war-torn Africa and also the war-torn Middle East area. And I'm sure that Mr. Barack Obama is going to open his hearts and his, our homes probably to, to these people as they come in. So we're going to see more of this alleged terrorism activity. You also have to wonder too, how much influence the FBI had over this particular incident. It doesn't seem like any of these incidents come to light without these people happening to befriend an undercover FBI agent for, I don't know, 8 to 10 months, something like that, before all of this stuff seems to see the light of day. But again, just conjecture, just throwing that out there, let you guys think out what's going on. Okay, I got to write something down here. Truth has got to leave for the day, and he's my BDI guy. He gives us our Baltic dry feed every day, and so I'm going to write that down so when I get to the economic stuff, we can talk about that. But I'm going to keep you guys in the loop. See, if you're not in the chat room, you're missing out. You guys could all be in the loop on what's going on with the BDI right now, and you're not going to. You're going to have to wait, probably have to deal with a commercial break. It's going to be awful, torturous. I know. I understand. But more reason to be in the chat room, I guess, this morning, I guess. Okay, Homeland Security is stepping up screening of aviation employees now. I think Rebecca Roth would probably really dig this story. The Department of Homeland Security tightened screening requirements for airport and airline employees yesterday following a three-month review triggered by allegations of gun smuggling by airline employees last year. This change means that all airport and airline employees traveling as passengers will have to go through TSA security screenings, and aviation workers will also have to submit to a fingerprint-based criminal history every 2 years, and until TSA can create a real-time system for criminal background checks. So that's what they're doing. Again, I'm going to say that again. Aviation workers are going to have to submit to a fingerprint-based criminal history records check every 2 years until the TSA can create a real-time system for criminal background checks. That last sentence there, TSA creating a real-time system for criminal background checks, scares me to death. These people, again, at the TSA, not really qualified enough to work at McDonald's as far as I'm concerned, but now we're arming them. We had that story yesterday. No, I think that story was Friday, but you guys can go back and look at Friday's show section and check it out, where the TSA is essentially, well, hiring firearm instructors and blocking off big lots of time at gun ranges near a lot of their airports. So again, TSA moving on towards being armed, and now, according to this article, potentially going to be creating a real-time criminal background check just to be able to travel. Again, how many terrorism activities can we actually say originated at an airport or actually took place at an airport? I know 9/11 pops into your head, but that didn't happen, so you got to discount that. Shoe bomber thing, pretty sure also didn't happen. So I'm really not sure, other than the fact that they're trying to clamp down on our ability to travel, why they would be doing this at an airport. It would make a lot more sense to me to take a dirty bomb. I'm not going to give any more ideas. We'll stop right there. But again, the airport does not seem like a likely target to me for terrorism activities. The amount of trouble you would have to go through, it just doesn't make any sense to me. So again, more draconian measures coming down from Homeland Security and going to be initiated through the TSA. In addition to all of that, the airports are going to have to reduce the number of ways to access secure areas to an operational minimum. So aviation employees will also be screened more often, including randomly throughout the workday. And this additional screening won't be 100% physical, according to Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson, but it would not completely eliminate potential risks, but would divert critical resources. I'm sorry. It will not be 100% physical because it would not completely eliminate potential risks, but would divert critical resources from other critical security functions to mitigate other risks. I don't know what the heck that means. Anyway, the gun smuggling case that the authorities are talking about said that four men, including Delta Airlines baggage handlers, were able to smuggle guns from Atlanta to New York on board airplanes, including getting the guns through security. And one of the defendants was traveling using a buddy pass, which is a privilege that airlines give to some of their employees. He actually got this privilege from his mother, who was a retired Delta Gate agent. So again, a lot of these TSA guys kind of bending the rules a little bit, flying around with guns. So now at least the gauntlet's going to be thrown down on them. I kind of like that. We're seeing one aspect of law enforcement where the people who are responsible for actually enforcing rules are going to have to go through the same rules themselves. So again, I think that's probably a good thing. And I'll tell you, if you have read Rebecca Roth's book, Methodical Illusion, kudos to you, first of all. You should get an extra copy and donate it to your local library. But one of the things that becomes remarkably clear while you're reading that book is just how porous the security is at the airport, specifically in terms of airline employees. Very, really interesting stuff. And I'm glad that the TSA has taken a stand against that, at least, and I think Rebecca would agree with me. Go check out Rebecca Roth's book, ladies and gentlemen. You will absolutely love it. We got to go to a 3-minute break. I will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it right here. We'll see you guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
We hold these truths to be self-evident and that all men are created equal.
The Freedom Link.
With Joe Joseph, Monday through Friday on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. Holy cow, we have a lot of people in the chat room right now. We have 24 fantastic people in the chat room right now. That is a high watermark for us here at the Red Pill Reports. Ladies and gentlemen, we got one more and we're going to have a record-breaking day, and we're well on our way also to having more than 1,000 people listening on the live stream. Just absolutely incredible. I really, really appreciate the support, guys. It's absolutely humbling having all of you guys along for the ride while we try and figure out exactly what in the heck is going on around us. I have to get to a story here in Arizona. There is one good story today that I think we need to talk about, but it does come with a little bit of a caveat right now. But at a meeting on Monday, and after spending an hour in executive sessions, quote unquote, privately discussing the issue with their lawyers, the Arizona Corporation Commission, the ACC, rescinded the decision that they made last December to allow APS to charge an extortion fee to people who refuse a smart meter. So last December, the ACC had approved a $50 upfront fee for those not grandfathered in with an existing analog meter and an additional $5 a month to avoid the harm inherent in those smart meters. That misguided, illegal, and ill-considered ACC decision was appealed by Pat Fair of Payson, Arizona, and also Warren Woodford of Activist Post fame, as it turns out. So anyway, in rescinding their previous decision, the slow learners at the ACC decided to still allow APS to continue trespassing via their biotoxic surveillance devices. But for the time being, you can refused the smart meters at no cost. It may turn out that while you are commenting or talking to the APS about your smart meter, they may end up abusing you quite a bit. There's been a lot of stories coming out of that area of people being chastised, and there's also been some stories of people just having these smart meters put on their homes without their consent. So again, you want to be kind of aware of that. But again, city of place in Arizona, wherever the Arizona Corporation Commission is operating, has at least done one good thing in the realm of smart meter enforcement by rescinding this ridiculous $50 fee just to keep your family safe. I mean, that's ridiculous. I can't even imagine that they would have been successful with that, but that's exactly what happened there back in December. Anyway, that decision is long gone at this point. We got to talk about this story that happened in coming out of Baltimore also. A man who was injured while being arrested in Baltimore last week has apparently now died just hours after hundreds of people rallied outside of the Baltimore police station to protest how seriously he was injured. Freddie Gray was his name, and according to police, Gray was first stopped by officers at about 8:30 in the morning on the 12th of April. He then managed to run away, but he was caught 1 minute later and arrested. And at 8:54, he was placed in the prisoner transport wagon and taken to the Warren District Police Station. At 10 o'clock in the morning, an ambulance was called to treat him. So sometime between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning, something very, very bad went down with Mr. Freddie Gray. But apparently, again, just pointing it out too, he is a black guy. White officers just kind of par for the course for everything that's going on. I'm trying to scroll down to get some more details on the story here, but it turns out, I believe, that he had his trachea crushed and he had several vertebrae in his upper back broken during this arrest. So that is apparently why he died. He was basically admitted to the hospital in a coma and then passed away again just yesterday. So just more tragedy going down with the law enforcement here in our country. Fantastic stuff. Go team. Happy to be a part of it all. I get excited every day when I get through a week and I haven't been beaten nearly to death or to death by a member of our fine boys in blue. And I know that I've kind of come out in the past and been on the fence about law enforcement officers, but I'm kind of starting to take a more hardline approach. And I think Chris Geo really nailed it the other day. And I kind of subscribe to the same situation now. We know enough now as adults, ladies and gentlemen, that that we can ask bigger, broader questions about what we actually want from law enforcement in this country. And the bottom line is this: if you understand the Federal Reserve is fake, if you understand that the money is fake, you don't need to understand anything else aside from that. You need to understand that when a law enforcement officer working as an agent for a corporation forces you under threat of pain, under threat of loss of liberty, or under threat of loss of life into a contract under duress and coercion against your will, only to fleece money out of you, which is fake in the first place, where they're taking money, they're revenue generating for a for-profit corporation known as a city or a state or a county or whatever you want to call it. And if it has to do with a victimless crime, like running a stop sign, that is oppression. I don't care. That cop is not a good cop at this point. And I'm sorry for having to be on that side of the fence. But if you are actively engaging in oppressing the people who live around you, you are not a good cop. I don't care what anybody else has to say at this point. So anyway, that's my rant on the police officers. We are going to have Commander Dale Brown back on the program. I don't know if it's next week or the week following Commander Dale Brown. If you haven't checked him out, wow, go do a YouTube video search or check out Red Pill Reports and see, try and download an archive from his last show. He runs the Detroit Threat Management Center, an altruistic private, they're not really police officers, I guess they're, he likes to call them armed agents for change, and I definitely agree with that as well, but altruistic in nature, where the law enforcement officers care more about your life than their lives. It's not about them getting home, it's about you getting home. And that one mental shift, that little bit of psychology, makes such a huge difference, because in the 20 years that Dale Brown has been commanding the Detroit Threat Management Center, zero people they have killed, ladies and gentlemen, none. And so anyway, I really recommend checking him out. And if we could get his organization to essentially duplicate itself all across the world, we could get out of some of this mess. But again, none of that's going to happen until we break away from the divide and conquer motif and actually step back and ask the broader questions of, this is what we want from law enforcement officers. Do we want people who are heavily armed, wearing costumes, with 5 months of training, walking around your city, potentially hurting people for the sake of a for-profit corporation named a city or a state? I personally don't. My goal in life is to remove all law enforcement officers and replace them with private, heavily supervised peace officers, because I think that would change the problem into something better. Okay, anyway, getting back into the national news here. A California man has been accused of climbing over the White House fence. He was released from jail just yesterday after appearing in a superior court in Washington. The Secret Service officers said they arrested 54-year-old Jerome Hunter of Sacramento, California, at about 10:30 p.m. Sunday night as he climbed over a fence surrounding the executive mansion. He was arrested on misdemeanor charge of unlawful entry. And Monday afternoon, a judge released him on the condition that he received a mental health evaluation, and Hunt will also be required to be monitored with a GPS device and was ordered to stay away from the White House. According to court records, Hunter was apprehended by uniformed Secret Security officials after he made it over the fence. He was carrying a bag that was later deemed to not pose a threat. He is scheduled also to appear in court again on the 12th of May. But this obviously does fall in line with all of the crazy incidents that the Secret Service has had to deal with lately. I'll tell you, man, that's one agency that just seems to be falling apart. They can't keep a 50-year-old guy from jumping over the fence at the White House? I mean, seriously, what is going on? Okay, real quick, too, I want to touch on, just since we're talking about America right now, if you guys did not get an opportunity to read the outstanding work that our listener and independent investigative journalist Dave in Texas put together yesterday regarding these Walmart closures, I would highly recommend you go back to Red Pill Reports. It's on the front page of redpillreports.com. Amazing piece of information there, but really begs the question, what the hell is going on? Because there are so many other things. I know a lot of people here also, like myself, we're kind of inundated these days with so much information. It comes at you so fast. It can be very difficult to remember something that just happened a couple of weeks ago. So I just wanted to go over a quick synopsis of all of the things that are going on in the United States right now. Just as the question comes to mind, are we moving towards martial law? Is something actually going on here right now? Well, there's a organization or a website out there called Rise Earth. They did a really good primer on just basically what is going on right now. I just wanted to touch on some of these things just to remind everybody what's happening right now. So according to Reuters, the New York Fed has been transferring personnel to Chicago and building up its satellite office there just in case of a natural disaster, if that natural disaster were to make it impossible for normal operations to continue in New York. We've also seen stories in the last year of the banking institutions sending out two-day survival kits to all of the major banks and their employees. We've also seen, and I don't know if you guys have seen this, but if you go do a video search for the New York Fed, for the longest time, they had on the ground floor big, open, beautiful windows. You could just look right on into the bank. Well, last year at some point, they decided to go ahead and brick those windows up. So there's no entrance not that there was an entrance through the windows into the Fed on the ground floor, but now there definitely isn't now in case you had to break in and, you know, tackle a banker or whatever. It's going to be more unlikely that that's going to happen. So you also have to wonder again about this move from the New York Fed facilities to their satellite office in Chicago. What kind of event would have to take place that would actually make it impossible for the New York Fed to carry on? There's been a lot of natural disasters, but really nothing that has shut down the Fed other than that one pesky little incident where the alleged terrorists allegedly flew alleged planes into some alleged buildings. Other than that, I can't think of anything that would actually make the Fed need to move to Chicago. So that's kind of an unusual thing. You also have to remember the absolutely massive purchase by the government, again, of ammunition, right? We talked about the AR-15, 62.5 million rounds that the Department of Homeland Security has put an order in recently. Kind of makes you wonder. You also have to wonder about this move by NORAD going back into Cheyenne Mountain because they're saying, again, they're concerned about an EMP attack. Well, this is a $700 million move involving a very large contract with Raytheon. So this is not something to be taken lightly also. And just, again, kind of signs of the times. So why exactly is the military so concerned now about an EMP attack? Again, $700 million to accomplish this move seems pretty significant. Makes you wonder what they might know that we don't know. And then on top of that, you've got all of these strange training exercises. Of course, we've talked ad nauseum about Jade Helm. We had that great breakdown of the Walmart closures yesterday. That story is absolutely going viral on Facebook. And if you're not a Facebook friend of ours, I would highly recommend you guys join us on Facebook. That's where a lot of our news gets posted and gets passed around. You can find out, too, a lot of things that we don't put on the website on our Facebook page. So hop out there. But also, in terms of drills that are going on, we had a story, I think it was late last week, about the dirty weapons or weapons of mass destruction deal going on in Des Moines, Iowa. So that was something that was going on. There's also an exercise called Northern Exposure, which is being held in Michigan right now. Again, this is going to be taking place, I'm sorry, not right now, but in the month of June, called Northern Exposure. This is a major exercise in Michigan where the military provides defense support to civilian authorities. This is a National Guard drill. So again, just more things you have to be wondering about. And also a Marine Expeditionary Force, G7, just concluded as of today in Camp Navajo, Arizona. So you have to add those drills in. And then, of course, we have this goofy Walmart closure thing. I won't go back into all of those details right now. But I'll tell you what, if you have not read that story that Dave put together, gotta go check it out, man. Holy cow. Absolutely crazy times are coming down the pike, and I think this Walmart closure has something to do with it. So anyway, that's what I know about what's happening in the States right now. Cannot wait to get a chance to talk to Kevin tomorrow and see if there's some similar things going on in the UK. I'd like to know how they're kind of gearing up for these same types of things, if they are, or if it's just the lucky us here in the United States that are going to have to put up with all this stuff going forward. Hang on one second. Getting through to Jamie right now. Okay, let's get into some economic news here real quick. Truth came through with the BDI feed earlier. We are at 601, which is up 3 points today. which means they're shipping just a touch more, I guess, than they were. I don't really know. Let's talk about the Dow, currently down about 62 points, 17,972. S&P also, well, S&P is actually up right now, 2,092. The dollar index is up a touch, 97.98. When the I was right. Dollar went down, euro went up. Sorry, guys. Euro is up 107.65 today. My Baltic Dry feed is still set at 583, so I'm going to go with truce number at 601 here. Appreciate you guys being there for that. $1,197 will get you an ounce of gold, so just a touch below the $1,200 mark. And silver looks like it's trying to get back to $16 today. We're at $15.90 for silver. Let's check out what oil is doing. $57.54. Down a little bit today, but still up off of the lows of $50 that we saw last week, and possibly because of the threat of global war, or at least a contained war in Yemen right now. And let's talk real quick about Bitcoin, coming down just a touch today at $221.80. We'll get you a Bitcoin today. So that's what I know about that. I do have some Greek story to cover here, but I want to touch on Iraq right now. And this, again, when I touch on these stories from Iraq, well, there's a lot of things I could say here. I am a big believer in Iraq, ladies and gentlemen. I really, really, really want to see Iraq pull their stuff together. And anything that I see coming out of there that's either good news or news about what's going on with them and ISIS, I try and cover pretty extensively. But some economic news coming out of Iraq right now, and I think this is pretty interesting. The head of the national – and let me preface this by saying this is a translated article from Arabic – and I'm on the fence in two directions as to what this actually means. So we'll, let me read it, and then I'll tell you what I think it means. The head of the National Business Council of Iraq, his name is Karim Mohammed Al-Shamari. He said in a press statement yesterday that was received by an organization called Tomorrow Press that Iraq's ascension to the Bank Asian Investment, which they are talking about the AIIB here, is a major step towards the development and has joined many countries, including Britain, Germany, France, in addition to Arab countries, including the UAE, as well as Iran, which looked upon the founders and made Egypt a request to join. So again, Arabic to English, that's difficult. But what I believe it is saying is that the head of the National Business Council of Iraq, Karim Al-Shamari, is recommending to the Prime Minister of Iraq, Mr. Abadi, that they go ahead and join this Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, excuse me. He also stressed that the Iraqi National Business Council, which includes the elite Iraqi businessmen from various terms of reference of the private sector, and out of concern for the reconstruction of Iraq and prosperity, to submit a proposal to the Prime Minister Hadi Al-Abadi, to join this bank, which again is largely in solving the problems of Iraq, and that many was established, blah, 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 blah. Very difficult to read here. I apologize. I'm trying to get through this as best I can. But again, it does look like Al-Shamari is either saying that Iraq has in fact joined the AIIB, which would be tremendously monumental in terms of Iraq coming back into the international stage, or they're making a very, very strong recommendation to Abadi, the Prime Minister, and probably also to the folks over at the CBI to go ahead and try and join that bank. So again, until I actually see confirmation from China that Iraq has joined this bank, I'm still on the fence about it. But again, if it does happen, that is an absolutely amazing move on their part, and I do hope that it does happen. Okay, let's move on to Greece right now. Greece is, boy, I'll tell you what, every other day it's like you just you don't know which way it's going to go in Greece. They are rapidly running out of cash right now, guys, and I'm talking major, major running out of cash. They actually had a decree yesterday, which to me tells me that it's go time. They're all public funds in the country apparently are now being seized by the Greek government. They issued a decree basically forcing local governments to transfer all of their cash balances to the central bank as debt to the International Monetary Fund and salaries are due. This is crazy, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a better word in the English language to describe how crazy this is. So Greece, in my opinion, should probably just go ahead and default before it creates a civil war, because this is the kind of thing you really cannot do to your citizens. This is the reason that the Syriza party rose to power in the first place, is because of these crazy austerity measures. But I'll tell you what, soaking up all of the money in the country and funneling it to the central bank just to go to the IMF, people in Athens are not going to stand for that, I do not believe. So, again, we're kind of reaching this point with Greece that it's we're kind of at make it or break it time right now. So this Greek government and its partners, again, appear to be reaching the end of the road in their negotiations to release the final 7.2 billion euros of its $240 billion euro bailout deal. The eurozone countries are demanding that new Greek government produce a list of reforms that improves its credibility also before releasing these euros to them. However, the finance minister there is suggesting that Greece will not retreat from its red line and did not rule out a referendum or early polls if talks remained deadlocked. So Greece, again, rapidly running out of cash with which to pay the public sector wages, pensions, and welfare payments. They also owe 930 million euros over the next few weeks to the IMF and the EU and the ECB. So again, it does appear that we are approaching a moment of reckoning here, ladies and gentlemen. Who knows what is going to happen? I think this will be a very interesting week in terms of Greece and probably the global economy as well. Speaking of which, China's push to challenge the U.S. dominance in global trade and finance may actually involve gold. We've been talking about this quite a bit, but how much gold is really the question that's on the table right now. So, you know, gold obviously right now is not used to back any paper money, but it does remain a large chunk of central bank reserves in the United States and in Europe. And China became the world's second largest economy in 2010 and has really stepped up efforts to make the yuan a viable competitor to the dollar. And this led to speculation that the government has maybe potentially allegedly stockpiled gold as part of a plan to diversify the $3.7 trillion in foreign exchange reserves. And the People's Bank of China may have tripled holdings of bullion since it last updated them in April of 2009, potentially to 3,500 metric tons, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. And they base this on trade data and domestic output and also the China Gold Association figures. And a stockpile that big would be only second to the 8,100 tons in the United States. And China may actually be preparing to update its disclosed holdings because policymakers are pressing now, and by policymakers we mean the IMF, they're pressing now to add the yuan to the IMF's currency basket known as the SDR or special drawing rights, which right now, of course, includes the dollar, the euro, the yen, and the British pound. And the tally of China's true gold holdings may come before the IMF's meeting on the SDR next month or potentially in October, according to Nomura Holdings Incorporated. So again, the question on the table right now is how much gold does China really have? And you know, it's funny to me, just as a side note here, when we see numbers like this, you know, the 3,500 metric tons being potentially what China holds and the 8,000 tons that the U.S. holds. Remember that story that we were talking about last week from India where they were trying to open up the vaults inside of some of the old, I'm talking like century old temples that are over there. They said in that report, just the temples alone in India holding 17,000 tons of gold. That's like four times what we have or what we allegedly have at Fort Knox. We don't have any gold. Spoiler alert, we don't have any gold. But anyway, remarkable to see some of the holdings that the countries have versus what still exists in the private sector. I just find that to be really, really fascinating. Morgan Stanley in the news right now for a couple of different reasons also, mostly speaking about Greece's uncertain future in the eurozone. They're also concerned about global quantitative easing, loose monetary policies, and continued demand for gold out of Asia. And they think that will potentially provide some support for the gold market. But Morgan Stanley particularly does not believe that all of those factors will contribute to another gold bull market. So here we have a commodity analysis from Morgan Stanley saying that they expect prices of gold to fall over the next 2 years as investors leave the marketplace. And this story is another shining example of when the quote-unquote experts come out and they say, this is what's going to happen. I usually believe the exact opposite. It was like, what was that guy, Shepard Smith on Fox News when he took like a five-minute break on air and told me I had nothing to worry about with Ebola? That was the day I called Daniel over at New Man Storable Foods and going ahead and upped my supply. Because when they tell you on the news that something is going to happen, the question really becomes, why are they telling you that? You have to remember, every single thing you see on television, be it a product, a person, or a perspective, is for sale, ladies and gentlemen. A product, a person, or a perspective. All of those things on TV, probably on the radio as well. Not here at Truth Frequency Radio. We are 100% listener supported and absolutely love doing what we're doing. But if you see it on TV and you have an idiot like someone at Morgan Stanley telling you that gold prices are probably going to go down, I don't know. Is it a good time to hop into gold? I think so. I think so. Morgan Stanley also in the news regarding they're basically right now in talks with attorney generals of New York over payment of about $500 million to settle claims for misleading investors with mortgage-backed securities issued before the financial crisis. So we'll find out more about what is going on with this. They have not yet agreed to any actual legal terms, and the actual costs of the bank are expected to probably fall short of the $500 million because banks generally consider as expenses only a fraction of the value they agree to hand out in consumer relief. But some of this money supposedly going to go to some of the mortgage holders that are underwater right now. Okay. Oh, man, we're running out of time, and I'm not going to get to the science and the health stuff. I apologize. Please, guys, go to redpillreports.com. Check out the show section. You'll be able to find out everything you want to know about Jamie Hanshaw, who's going to be joining us in about 5 minutes. I'm stupidly excited about this because I tell you what, there's something going on with the Disney organization. You guys are really, really going to love this. Yeah, somebody in the chat room throwing up Jamie Hanshaw's two books called Weird Stuff. She actually co-wrote those with her good friend, I think maybe even her husband. I'm not sure if they're married or not, but Freeman, oh, man, if you haven't heard his stuff, too, just absolutely fantastic, fantastic stuff. So in a follow-up story here, economically, Monsanto going down the tubes. Congratulations to all of you guys who are voting with your dollars out there because Monsanto – this quarter, the first quarter of 2015, down 15%, ladies and gentlemen, amid falling GMO seed sales. So as the people out here are becoming more and more aware of just how bad Monsanto is, they're voting with their dollars, ladies and gentlemen, and that's hitting Monsanto right in the pocketbooks, and that is the kind of change that we like to see. I was listening to Robert Bruce's show yesterday, and if you guys aren't listening to Robert Bruce's show in the midday, man, I'll tell you what, you're missing out on a lot. But he made a great point, and I got to reiterate that too, is that Monsanto, yes, bad, demon, horrible, awful company, right? Let's not forget about DuPont. Let's make sure that every time we're talking about Monsanto with our friends, the fact that these are the people that are growing your food or trying to grow your food or fertilize your food, also the same people that came up with Agent Orange. Let's not forget that. But also, DuPont needs to be in our radar and on in the crosshairs all the time as well, because we don't need to let them off the hook. But again, Monsanto continuing to lose profits in the second quarter of 2015. They are down 15%. Way to go, guys. Way to go. Keep voting with your dollars. We will take this stupid country back. We got to go to this 3-minute break. Appreciate you guys all being here. Check out the news I couldn't get to at redpillreports.com. And when we come back, we will have the one and only Miss Jamie Hanshaw joining us. Keep it right here, guys. We'll see you in just a few minutes.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR. Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
Real people. Real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. I cannot tell you how excited I am to bring this guest back to the program, one and only Jamie Hanshaw, joining us again. She is an amazing person, ladies and gentlemen. She works with a guy named Freeman on Freeman TV. You can find all these links at redpillreport.com, and I will go over some of them with you here real quickly. But just for you guys who don't know Jamie, she is a second-generation conspiracy theorist. She grew up in the 80s and the 90s, was exposed very early to the growing world of truth seekers, alternative historians, Clinton scandals, the FEMA activities, and witchcraft in Saturday morning cartoons. She was raised a Christian. For about 25 years, she taught Sunday school and is knowledgeable about the Bible and the life of Jesus, Islam, Satanism, Mormonism, exorcisms, and all the other isms that are out there. She's also very, very into studying things like occult activities of secret societies, the Freemasons, magic, sorcery, Kabbalistic rituals, and also Hollywood trauma-based mind control, which is one of the real reasons that we bring her back to the program so often, because we see so much on television and in mainstream pop culture that is just absolutely out of sight. She has got some fantastic books called Weird Stuff, Operation Culture Creation. There are two parts of that book out right now, and I recommend both of them highly. Her website is freemantv.com. You can also find her on Facebook, and I highly recommend you guys do all of those things. Jamie Hanshaw, thank you very much for joining us on the program again today.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's always a good time with
you. It is. We always have so much fun. And I'll tell you, I've been wanting to do this show regarding Walt Disney, the man and the organization for such a long time because, you know, we've talked about some of the history of Disney Channel and the kids that they seem to raise in this kind of trauma-based mind control and then unleash onto the world. And there's never really a shortage of craziness going on with the Disney organization. But I wanted to dig in more to Disney himself and kind of the history of the occult as it travels through, the Disney transition into whatever it is these days. But before we get into that, you had kind of mentioned that you wanted to touch on these Walmart closures that are going on. And we've talked a little bit about that on air. I mentioned the fact we've got an independent investigative researcher down in Texas named Dave who put a lot of this story together for us here at Red Pill yesterday and just did an absolutely outstanding site. But if you'd like to start there, if you've got some sort of occult connection or a connection between Disney and these Walmart closures, Jamie, I am all ears, young lady.
Okay. Well, yeah, so this is probably one of the creepiest things to happen to us in a while, if you've been paying attention. And I wish it was I wish the Walmarts were closing because people were waking up and refusing to shop there, but that's not the case, right?
I don't think that's what's happening.
No. In a perfect world, maybe they would be closing because they were running out of money, but that's not what's happening.
Nope.
So you mentioned that your friend had this article linking the Walmart closures to emergency detention centers, right?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, we already know that Walmart is basically the distribution arm of FEMA. When the Katrina thing happened, you know, it was Walmart trucks that were bringing the water to the Superdome. So we already know that there's a lot of collusion that goes on at high levels between Walmart and the DHS. And to me, these Walmart closures just really don't make any sense from a business standpoint. I mean, we're talking, some of these Walmarts were the only ones in their area. They were the largest, you know, we're talking about super centers that make, I think one in Texas was making $250,000 a month just in tax donations, you know, to the county. So we're talking about a lot of business, and they had a 5-hour going out of business sale where they just happened to tell employees, don't bother showing up again tomorrow. Thanks for nothing. I mean, That doesn't make any sense to me at all, Jamie.
No, it doesn't. And it's not just Walmarts. It's also, Home Depots and Lowe's and many other businesses. But the first thing that hit me about this was they're totally lying about why they're closing, right?
Absolutely.
They're telling the public that it's plumbing problems and just bold-faced lies and things that don't even make sense. So yep. There's your first clue that something big is coming down the pike, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So the point I wanted to make about all these is that they are military contracted industrial part of the military, right?
That's right.
And this has been so from the beginning, and they were built for this purpose, and they're strategically placed, like you said, near large airports and train tracks and things like this, because when they're trying to squeeze the, you know, tighten down the police state, they're using these Walmarts, Home Depots, and Lowe's, and we're going to be seeing more of this probably if we don't wake up and do something.
I agree.
But my point is that all of these corporations, including Monsanto, which is the big bad, everyone knows Monsanto's evil, right? If
That's
you don't
right
now, then you're just totally asleep.
Yes.
And from the very beginning, the Walt Disney Corporation has been a part of this club, because they were always contracted with Monsanto. You remember Tomorrowland was brought to you by Monsanto, where they would basically use the attraction as an ad for their plastic houses and their irradiated food refrigerators and, you know, the house of the future is what they would call it. All this brought to you by Monsanto.
I had no idea that Tomorrowland was sponsored by Monsanto, Jamie.
Oh, of course. And, you know, a lot of other rides in Disney parks are sponsored by military industrial corporations. If you go to, Orlando to the Epcot Center.
Right.
That big white ball is sponsored by Siemens.
I thought that was a big golf ball. It's not a big golf ball.
No, that is a big Buckyball, they call it. And when you go on the ride, they show you, the ride is all about technology and communication, and they show you the history of writing, and they start with, cavemen, and they go to Prometheus, and I think even Kramer from Seinfeld plays the Prometheus character. And, so they just take you through history and up until the future and into computers, and this is the way your future is going to be.
Wow.
And not only do they do that, but when you get on the ride, they take your picture immediately, and they make a little cartoon of your life with your head on a little cartoon and saying this is your perfect vacation. And then, when you get off, your face goes to this giant map so that everybody riding the ride is doing this. And so when you get off, they show everyone going back to their hometown.
Creepy.
And so Siemens actually is a military corporation, and you can find their logo. It looks the same exact as the logo above the attraction in Walt Disney World, but you can see that same logo above the concentration camp at Auschwitz.
What? Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay, I gotta look for their logo here. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. So when you go on the rides, you kinda gotta see who's sponsoring these rides. And I can't think of all of them right now, but they all have, you know, Kodak sponsors, whatever, and every corporation there is one of these big Walmart super conglomeration town-killing corporations.
Right. Is that always been the case? I mean, did they initially start off with corporate sponsorship to build the park, or when did that actually begin, Jamie? Do you know?
Yeah. So from the very beginning in Anaheim, that's where you have the Monsanto Tomorrowland and other things brought to you. Yeah, the ride is always brought to you by someone.
Wow.
Oh, ExxonMobil. So they have a big ride in Epcot about offshore oil drilling, and it's like the Land of the Dinosaurs ride, but it's actually about how we need more oil.
So they're bleeding that that rumor that oil and dinosaurs have something to do with one another also. That's interesting.
Right.
Okay.
So these are basically ads for these giant military-industrial corporations. And so speaking of the military taking over properties, this actually happened to Walt Disney in the beginning. So right after Pearl Harbor happened, the next day the military commandeered the Walt Disney Studios in Burbank without Walt Disney's permission, and he arrived to work that morning to find jeeps and crates and generals, and just they just basically treated his studio like another military outpost, and all about 90% of his production went into military training films and propaganda films. And so this is where you get the films about Donald Duck going to war, or Donald Duck working in the factory, Donald Duck being a Nazi, Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse saving their bacon grease so they can use it for ammunition. Donald Duck pays his taxes. This all came out of that the wartime when they were occupied by the military at the Walt Disney Studios, and I don't think that occupation ever ended. I think it just kind of went underground.
Well, the question then is, I mean, was that something that he was forced into? Was mm-hmm. Disney co-opted by these organizations then?
That's the story. He didn't know that they were going to be taking over, but he couldn't say no.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But then we'll get to this in a second, but he did end up working for the FBI in the end.
Wow. Not surprising.
Right. So here you've got Walt Disney making all these propaganda films, and actually they attributed the rise in people paying their income tax to the Donald Duck cartoon, because back then people were a little more aware, and they're like, hey, we don't have to do this. This is illegal. You know, income tax is not by law. You don't have to pay it, right?
Right.
Because we can research that on our own, but... sorry, something just happened at my house. Okay.
That's okay. Everything okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
So here you have, you know, Walt Disney making all these propaganda films, and you can find them all on this really good, DVD set called Disney on the Front Lines, where they actually admit that, when the Nazis saw how well the propaganda cartoons were doing, they copied Walt Disney's style to make their own propaganda cartoons for the Nazis.
Wow.
Right. So you have to lump the Disney Corporation in with all these big, bad, horrible things that you hate and that obviously are destroying the world. But it's really hard because they do it, you know, they gear everything towards children, and it's all about cartoons, and it looks innocent, but when you really know what's going on, it's pretty much the most frightening thing you can experience. And the past two Disney movies I've watched are just pure trauma-based mind control and incredibly frightening.
Which movies were those, Jamie? I haven't seen it. I gotta be honest, I haven't seen a Disney movie in so long. I mean, I don't know what their affiliation with Pixar is and all of this stuff. So, I mean, I'm learning here from you as much as I can today.
Okay. The last one we saw was called Return to Oz. Now, The Wizard of Oz has been selected from the beginning as a script for trauma-based mind control victims to follow, right?
Okay.
And because it has all these elements of Follow the Yellow Brick Road and, Wizard of Oz was written as a theosophical fairy tale, so it has all these magical, connotations as well. But the sequel, Return to Oz, was a Walt Disney movie, not an MGM. And this one was super dark. It opens with Dorothy, sick in bed because she won't stop talking about visiting Oz, and everyone thinks she's crazy. So her aunt actually takes her to a psychiatrist in a big, castle-like asylum. And it's just the most scariest thing for children. And so they take her there and they actually give her electroshock therapy.
What? Is this a cartoon, Jamie, or is this a live action movie?
It's live action called Return to Oz by Walt Disney. And so the moment they're about to shock her, the lights go out and she disassociates. So if we know what we're watching, that's what we're watching. But in the movie, it's just a part of the plot where the lights go out and they all go to see what happened. But actually this, she has been electroshocked. Now she's in the alternate world and her alter comes to get her and save her and they escape the asylum and wind up, back in Oz.
Wow.
And throughout the movie, she, well, she meets up with this princess who can switch her heads. Just like in trauma-based mind control, you know, that's a signal of switching alters. So right. She can take off her head, put on another head. How frightening is that? This is the movie where you have the Wheelers. Do you remember those?
No.
Scary really, really frightening for children.
What's a Wheeler? I don't even know what that is.
It's just a scary character with wheels on his hands and feet and a scary face, and they just wheel around. They're really fast and creepy. And
ooh, okay.
Catcher.
So like a modern version of the monkeys from the original Oz then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she has to go to this man in the mountain and figure out her way back to Kansas. But everything about it was just trauma-based mind control from the electroshock and the asylum and every character that she came across in real life was transmitted to her fantasy world as the other characters. So the evil nurse was the wicked queen and the doctor was the king of the mountain. So yeah, I really recommend watching this if you know about trauma-based mind control because the electroshock therapy was just so telling.
Well, it's crazy that you mentioned that too, because I didn't get a chance to get into the health news today, but there's an article, I don't know if it was in the science section or the health section, but they were talking about new experiments that are going on with mental electrical stimulation to promote creativity in people. And they're really like blowing it up as like, oh, this is the next big thing. You can strap these electrodes onto your noggin and then, you know, put some low voltage through there and you'll increase your creativity by 10%. And I just thought, man, this is not what I want to see in mainstream news right now because they're trying to glorify that practice, which to me, you know, I've read, what was that? Journey into Madness, which is a story about the CIA basically starting that whole practice of psychic driving back in Canada, you know, in the 1950s, kind of before all that electroshock thing really took off, but just so frightening. And the fact that they would be putting that back in mainstream as being a potential, you know, beneficial treatment really kind of threw me for a loop, Jamie. I'm not going to lie.
Well, this is straight from Scientology. If you've ever seen their practices, they go and they grab these two rods called the E-meter and they read their emotional state from...
Yeah.
And they get these low current electroshock therapies. And actually, L. Ron Hubbard's son said that Scientology was a black magic ritual that was played out over a lifetime instead of in one place.
Really?
Right.
Wow. What do you say about that? I mean,
well, we can talk about Scientology another time, but let's get back to Disney. So let's talk a little bit about Walt himself because, you know, this isn't just a one man show, right? Walt was a director. He was a talent scout. He was always using other people's talent and signing his name on the art and using them as slaves and just saying that it was all him and his creativity, right?
Okay, so not a good guy, generally speaking.
Well, let's talk about his childhood a little bit because he had a really, really abusive childhood. His father was this really strict, quote-unquote, Christian who would beat them and make them work. And Walt actually was, you know, delivering papers. He was working hard on a farm. He was doing jobs that little kids shouldn't be doing. He had to take naps in the alleyway, in between shifts, and he was just, worked to death pretty much as a child. So he grows up and his brother joins the military in World War I, and he wants to do exactly what his brother did because he really loved his older brother, Roy. Okay. Because Roy would kind of protect him from his dad.
Ah, okay.
And so he wanted to be in the military like Roy, but he wasn't old enough. So he actually forged his birth certificate to say that he was 1 year older so he could join the Red Cross.
Wow.
And you could hear in the Walt Disney Museum, Walt tell the story. He says he got his mom to sign this thing, and when she turned her back, he changed the year of his birth.
Wow. That's interesting.
Right. So this is a guy who doesn't really mind being deceitful, right?
Okay, right.
So he goes to the military, and he ends up being a driver for high-level government officials. And one of his side jobs, or one of his ways of making money in the military, was actually collecting memorabilia from the battlefield and putting bullet holes in it and painting blood on it and stuff and selling it. So here's...
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
So here's his creativity.
It is creative. I'll give him that.
Yeah. So Walt gets out of the military, and then he tries to become a cartoonist. And eventually the FBI finds out that Walt's birth parents might not actually be his birth parents. Now, he has one of the biggest birth certificate scandals there is, because there was a whole controversy. And this is what tipped him off first, because when he went to ask his parents for his birth certificate so he could join the military, they were like, I don't know. Well, what?
Oh, right.
Yeah. So they had to, you know, get another one and forge it and stuff like that. So they were very weird about his birth. And so the FBI finds out about this, and they come to Walt, and they're like, well, your mother might not be your real mother, and we're going to look into this for you. And we're not going to tell anybody. It's your little secret, you know, because Walt Disney at this time was supposed to be the paragon of family values.
Okay.
And so a scandal like this would have really hurt him back in, you know, the 40s. And so Walt says to J. Edgar Hoover, sure, I will work very closely with the FBI, and you guys work on this birth certificate scandal for me. As far as I can tell, this was never resolved. I've read pretty much every biography on Disney there is, and no one really knows who his birth parents were.
Wow. I had no idea, Jamie.
Yeah. So this kind of hung over his head his whole life. And Walt Disney was a really, he had a lot of demons. He was very neurotic. He washed his hands about, you know, 50 times a day. He was obsessed with butts and butt jokes, and this was a running thing in the studios, because Walt was always like, more butts, more butt jokes, and they're like, no, we can't do that. But on the outside, he was trying to be really clean cut. You know, he wouldn't allow his employees to have facial hair. They couldn't swear. They had to eat lunch, men and women separate. Women worked in the paint department. Men worked in the creative department.
Wow.
Yeah. So he always wanted there to be, like, not even a hint of foul play because of his guilty conscience.
Hmm, okay.
And in the beginning of Hollywood, pretty much most of what they were making was smut, right? And the American public was keen on this, and they were like, Hollywood is Babylon, and this is all, you know, smut, and we are not behind this. And actually, a lot of the public was blaming Hollywood for the Great Depression. And so here come the B'nai B'rith, the Jews in Hollywood, and they back Walt Disney and give him a bunch of awards and money and things so he can be the paragon of family values and prove that Hollywood isn't all just smut, right?
Okay.
Couldn't think of another word there. But so here you have him practically saving the industry, because the beginning of Hollywood started on the East Coast with the invention of the Nickelodeons, you know, the flicker things, peep shows.
Oh, is that what a Nickelodeon is?
Exactly. And that's in Weird Stuff 1. And so now it's a kids programming network, right?
Wow. I'd never made that connection. That's crazy.
You put your nickel in, you see these pictures rotating, and you see women getting undressed or in their underwear or whatever. And so this is how the distribution started. So the Jews, I guess, they had the monopoly on distribution in Nickelodeons, and they brought the whole organization out to Hollywood.
Wow.
And so Nickelodeon's corporate logo, the slime, right? You've been slimed It's just a big splooge.
That's their corporate logo? I thought that was just a show on an old Nickelodeon show.
If you look up Nickelodeon's corporate logo, it's like a splatter of slime.
Wow. Ugh.
It's always sliming kids.
Right?
Right? So how pornographic is that?
Oh, that's just awful. I'd never, ever thought of that. I like you having you on the show because you always make me think of these awful things that I've never made the connections for. I appreciate that.
I wish I was wrong. It is so awful. I didn't see it, but I do. That's
okay.
So, where were we at? Walt Disney.
Talking about the birth of the Nickelodeon or the control of the Nickelodeons through the Jewish control over Hollywood, essentially.
Right. So later on, they're holding up Disney to save Hollywood and as a family entertainment business. And this is how Disney gets in the back door of being what he is today or what the corporation is today.
Okay.
But, he actually worked really closely with J. Edgar Hoover, and they would bring FBI agents into the set of Mickey Mouse Club, and they would, you know, do shows, and then they would actually do Mickey Mouse Club at the Pentagon and things like that. So there's always been this connection ever since the beginning of Walt with the government.
Hmm.
And that's where we get the trauma-based mind control, you know, Project Monarch, Project Artichoke, Project MK Ultra. All these things are government projects, and they're working hand in hand with Walt Disney from the beginning.
Wow, and you got to think too that if the FBI had been able to start kind of cultivating some of the initial children, you know, working with Disney at the Disney Channel and or the Disney, what was the kids show there, the Disney Club, the Walt Disney Club or whatever.
Disney Mouse Club.
It'd be so easy for them if they could. They could definitely put leverage against Disney himself. You know, once they have control over some of these kids, because obviously Disney's reputation as being wholesome would be tarnished profusely if information had come out saying that he had allowed, you know, the FBI to start getting their mitts on some of these kids, which does seem to be exactly what happened, you know?
Yes, exactly. And this is about the time Walt starts having these nervous breakdowns.
Right, see? Yeah.
And having to give the company over to Roy to run, and then the government sends him to South America for, who knows what for. I'm sure, you know, spy espionage, but in the guise of collecting footage for nature shows.
Hmm.
Right? So
okay.
This is what you get the Walt Disney goes down south and the lemmings go over the cliff and that's a lie too. They actually, lemmings don't run off cliffs. They made them run off a cliff and they showed it on TV and that's why everyone thinks that lemmings run off cliffs.
Oh my God. These people are just so evil, Jamie. And it's funny to me how far back this evil history actually goes. And then once you start bringing in the Nickelodeon aspect, all of these corporations just seem
right.
So suspect. I don't want my kids watching any of this garbage, to be perfectly honest. Jamie, we've got to go to a commercial break here. We've already squandered the first half an hour, but this has been incredibly interesting and I really appreciate you being here. Everybody hang out through this 3-minute break. We come back. We've got lots more to talk about with this Disney organization and the mind control of these poor kids and what they're actually trying to do. And man, you're not going to want to miss this. Keep it right here, guys. 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now. You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life. Really? I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals. Wow, why are you so nice to me? Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Enemy Within Radio with Tom Barnes and Tommy Woodgate. Saturdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. Really appreciate all of you guys being with us today and in the chat room. So nice to have this forum available, and I'm going to try and steward some of these questions that you guys are posing in there across to Jamie. But right now, we're kind of talking, well, first and foremost, we're talking with Jamie Hanshaw today, the one and only. FreemanTV.com is the website you want to go to do some research on her, and also her Facebook page is facebook.com/Jamie Hanshaw. I'd highly recommend you guys get on board there because you'll be able to get all of the insight on things as she breaks them into the world here. But Jamie, before the break, we were kind of talking about the Disneyfication of humanity, and you had mentioned the fact that Walt had been sent down to South America, and it's at that point that they filmed that video of the lemmings jumping off of the cliff, and since then everybody in their right mind believes that lemmings do, for some reason, just all herd themselves off of cliffs. And it reminds me of the issue with the banana peel. Most people, when you think of a banana peel, what do you think of? You think of somebody slipping on a banana peel. But I would challenge all of you out there to actually think in your mind of a time when you've actually seen somebody slip on a banana peel, because it's probably never actually happened before, but yet we all have that association in our brain, and we owe those associations to wonderful organizations like the Disney Company and like Nickelodeon, because they tell us these goofy things and we all just take them at face value and believe them. And I wonder how much else that we believe out there, Jamie, has been Disneyfied or Nickelodeonized, if you could.
Pretty much everything, because let's look at Walmart for a second, or even Target, or wherever you go. It's all Disney characters, right? You walk down your aisle for girls' toys, and it's all pink princess, cleaning supplies, makeup, creepy dolls that look like alien sluts.
Creepy dolls.
Yeah.
These days, yeah.
And then you walk down your boys' aisle and it's all military. It's all superheroes and UFC fighters and guns and, you know, just basically the princess warrior programming, which I've been trying to lay out since my first book. And
that's a really great, I hadn't heard that though, the princess warrior programming, in terms of like that as a synopsis. That's a really good observation.
Right. So yeah, I kind of coined that term. So if you ever hear someone talk about Princess Warrior programming, that's my original.
I like it.
Because we were walking through the aisles in Target, and I keep seeing this face. And this was years ago when me and Freeman first got together. And I'm like, who is this girl? This blonde girl is on everything. Every product that you could ever imagine, she's got one.
Right.
And it was Hannah Montana.
Ah, okay.
And so we start going around filming. Like, I thought, well, could we take a camera in the store and go down every aisle and find a Hannah Montana? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we couldn't even turn around. Well, not just Disney, okay? This isn't just SpongeBob and Disney Princess. This is just Hannah Montana. She had a product in every single aisle that we went down, from lamps to bedspreads to sheets to toothpaste to perfume to furniture, toys.
Mel Brooks called that merchandising.
Right. It's not just merchandising, though. This is a saturation of trauma-based mind control.
Right.
So you've got all these little girls worshiping Hannah Montana, and look how she turned out.
How did she turn out? I don't follow Mrs. Montana.
Miley Cyrus.
Oh, is that Miley Cyrus?
Yeah.
Gotta see. I try and stay as far away from pop culture. When I bring you onto the show to educate the listeners, it's really just for me, Jamie, because I am so out of the loop right now, really. So that's who Miley Cyrus, that she turned into Miley Cyrus?
Miley was Hannah Montana.
Okay. Okay.
And that was actually the character in the show. She was two different people because she was little Miley from Tennessee, and then when she put the wig on, she became Hannah Montana and the famous girl, but she could keep her secret when she took the wig off and be the brown-haired Miley. So here's another example of your trauma-based mind control alters.
Absolutely, the fractured personality. I mean, that's right. Like top of the list as far as I know.
So every little girl about 10 years ago was having Hannah Montana in her bedroom, in her bathroom, everywhere she went, going to the concerts, watching the show on Disney Channel. And now Miley's all grown up, and her concert Bangers is probably the most pornographic thing I've ever seen. And if you take your kids this, I think you should have to register with the sheriff, because it is purely pedophilia. And I mean, she calls for everyone to kiss each other in her concert. She says, no matter if you're sitting next to a boy, girl, young, old, turn to the person and give them a big old French kiss.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Wow.
And then she comes out and she's wearing these leotards with camel toe, and she's doing masturbating on top of cars and riding giant hot dogs as a penis. And I've seen her do fellatio on a blow up doll in concert.
Wow. Isn't she, who's her father? The guy,
Billy Ray Cyrus.
What's his name?
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus. He must be proud, right?
Well, he's in this too. He was actually played her dad in the show.
He was in the Hannah Montana show on Disney?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. Well, that's some fine parenting, isn't it?
Right. And then I found out a while ago, I think it was either on her mom's side or dad's side, one of her grandparents is a senator, so she's got or a congressman. I mean, he's in the government. But she's got connections. Her godmother is Dolly Parton.
I did not know that. Wow. Is Dolly involved with all this? Please don't tell me Dolly's involved with all this.
I'm sure she is.
Oh, man.
I mean, not involved as in a top level player, but as an asset and a slave, definitely.
Wow.
But I do like Dolly Parton as a person.
Well, I like her as a songwriter. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, I know we're way off track here, but a lot of the music that has people really clombed onto over the last 20 years, most of which was written by Dolly Parton, you know?
Definitely. She's super talented.
Yes.
And giving. And then when her manager sued her for back money that she owed him, she bought his whole entire music catalog to get him out of trouble with the IRS. And then when he tried to buy it back, she gave it to him for free. You know, she just really loved that guy. I can't remember his name.
Hmm.
She did a show with him. That's how she got famous. But anyway, yeah, Dolly Parton's a nice lady.
Seems to be. I got to ask another question just kind of coming out of the chat room right now, and I hope we didn't get you too far off track. But somebody was curious about Howard Hughes. Do you have any information about Howard Hughes?
Not really, no.
Okay. We'll have to come back to that. People are wondering, too, if he's kind of related to this, because obviously he's made a lot of childhood movies, and he's still very active in Hollywood today. But anyway, let's get back on track with Disney. The last time we had talked about him essentially being – co-opted by the military-industrial complex and then almost removed from service a little bit as he was sent to South America, and I think that's where we left that off.
Right, and so this is where he's starting to break down a little bit, because everybody who is in these dark dealings that, you know, their conscience creeps out somehow, but they can't find their way out. But they start developing these neurotic things like, you know, washing your hands, taking showers. L. Ron Hubbard had to take 10 showers a day. Adolf Hitler had to wash his hands 50 times a day, just like Walt Disney.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know where we're going with that.
Oh, I thought we were kind of still walking our way through Walt Disney's life and we had gone to South America.
Right. Okay. Well, we were talking about the stores and the Princess Warrior programming in Hannah Montana. And,
oh, yeah.
Right. So this is just pure programming, and I don't know what to say about this, but if you're buying these toys for your children and letting them play with Bratz and Novi dolls, the Novi dolls look like a hybrid of a human alien hooker.
Right.
I just really don't understand how a mother can say, yeah, let's play with this doll. And and then they wonder why their kids turn into spoiled brats, and they're playing with brats and they're wearing high heels and mini skirts. And then you have this Monster High, which is even a more darker line of girls' dolls. Have you heard of Monster High?
Yeah, these are like the undead girls, like a cross between the alien hooker and a zombie. They took it up another level.
They're the daughters of the classic movie monsters like Frankenstein and Dracula and Mummy and things like that. But if you watch the show, they're all like undead and like animated by some kind of unholy force.
Right.
And so this is just pure trauma-based mind control too.
It seems to be kind of an ongoing theme here with Disney. I want to talk a little bit about some of the movies that people might have in their collection. You know, like the older Disney movies, they do all the releases where they'll open their vault and you can go back and buy Pinocchio and things like that. I mean, should we be concerned about some of the older Disney movies as well?
Okay. An older one that I was just thinking of was called The Brave Little Toaster. Have you seen that one?
Oh, I think I have seen that one.
And it's really dark, and it was made around the same year as The Little Mermaid. And if you watch these two movies side by side, you're like, the same company made these? Because Little Mermaid was just full of color and songs and music and things like that. But The Brave Little Toaster was gray and scary. And so the story is about these household appliances that get left in some vacation house, and they're on the quest to find the master.
Okay.
And so they have to leave the house. And so that's a creepy clue too, because, slaves have to call their handler master.
Uh-huh.
Right. So they're always on the search. Where's the master? Where's the master? And these little appliances, I mean, a lot of them have to sacrifice their life for the rest of the group, and even the Brave Little Toaster at the end has to be crushed in a compressor to save his master.
What? Really?
Yeah, and then I think even the lamp even gets struck by lightning.
Wow. So, okay. Yeah.
So there's a creepy one that's a little older that you can go watch for your trauma dose for the day.
Right. What about all the, like, the subliminal stuff? You know, I see a lot of rumors kind of on the internet, you know, with, I think one of them was The Lion King, where there's a scene where all the, you know, all the petals from a tree spell a certain word, things like that. Is there a lot of history of the subliminal stuff too going on there?
Yeah, definitely. He lays in the dirt and the dirt goes up in the air and spells sex.
Right, right.
And then on The Little Mermaid, in the older, VHS covers, the castle, there's a big phallus in the middle of the spears of the castle on the Little Mermaid.
Hmm.
Big golden penis.
Right.
Right? And so that is right there should tell you that's Osiris going back to Egypt, the worship of the obelisk, and, you know, solar phallic worship.
Right.
Subliminals, you can see a naked lady in The Rescuers when they're going down on a sled, they go past a window, and it's a woman with her breast bared.
Really?
Yeah. Look up The Rescuers and the naked lady in there. And then, it's not Disney, but Roger Rabbit, there's one where Jessica twirls around, and you can see her between her legs. So, yeah, definitely there's a bunch of subliminals. But for the smarter people, it's not even about the subliminals, because the whole plan is laid out right in front of you if you have the eyes to see it. Not even subliminally.
Hmm. Do Do you think that some of the subliminal stuff is just done by like a frustrated cartoonist there and isn't really part of the grand scheme of things?
No, because do you know how many people have to work on those things and paint those cells and how many different hands it has to go through? I mean, a cartoon is no easy thing to make. And Disney actually was a paragon of this whole process of making cartoons, and he actually produced a really beautiful artwork, like Pinocchio.
Right.
Was visually beautiful, and his old movie Snow White. So there's some technology that came out of this for good, you know, for beautiful art, but it's being used for sorcery, and that's kind of the point of my whole books is, like, we're all magicians in the world, right? If you look at the definition of magic and the ways that things are created magically, it's just a change in consciousness. So it's you changing your, bringing your imagination to life in the 3D world. That's magic. And so by that definition, everyone is a magician. So what they're trying to do is usurp your magical ability, these sorcerers, what I call them. There's a difference between magic and sorcery. And they usurp our magical power to use it for their end and their will.
Which, if you think about Fantasia for a second, that seems to be exactly the plot to that movie.
Definitely. And Fantasia is 100% made for programming children.
How do you mean?
The whole movie is a trauma-based mind control trip where they would put children on LSD and make them watch Fantasia and have a script that goes along with it to program them. And you can read a good article by Fritz Springmeier who goes over scene by scene, and it's called How to Brainwash Your Friends and Family. And it's all about Fantasia, and it goes through the script scene by scene. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
Check that out. I want to know a little bit too, if there's a, there's a lot of rumor about a Masonic connection between Mr. Disney, and, there's reports about that Club 33. I don't know if that's really a real thing, but, what, do you have any information about those things?
Yes, as far as I know, and this is, I researched it heavily because I was trying to figure out if he really was a Mason. He was not a Freemason. Walt was not, but Roy was.
Really?
Right. But Walt was actually one of the first members of DMLA, which is Masonry for Teenage Boys.
Oh, I'm sorry, what was that called? DMLA?
DMLA, yeah. So one of the saints of Freemasonry is called Jacques DMLA, who was killed on Friday the 13th. Or he was killed. The Friday the 13th was when they put out the hit for the Knights Templars. The Pope did. And then they arrested them all, and they killed Jacques DMLA. So he's a saint of the Freemasons now. But if you go to Disneyland, there is a Club 33. There is a Disneyland Masonic Club. There is a, if you go on Thunder Mountain Railroad, one of the props, it's like a crate, like a wooden crate as a prop. And it actually says H. Abiff's Working Tools, and it has a plum and a square and a trowel on it.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know who H. Abiff is?
No, I would love to know though.
Okay. So Hiram Abiff is pretty much the rock star of Freemasonry. He was what they call the first Mason, who worked on Solomon's Temple. And if you go, if you're in the third degree of Freemasonry, your whole ritual is based on the assassination of this guy called Hiram Abiff.
Okay.
And you are him, and you're walking around, and you're blindfolded, and you're hit in the chest with the thing, and they knock you down and do this mock killing and roll you up in a carpet and bury you under a rubbish pile, because this is the story of Hiram Biff from Solomon's Temple, because he wouldn't reveal the secret word of Masonry. So what they call they killed Hiram before he would tell the secret word to these three ruffians who were unworthy because they had not reached the third degree yet.
Okay.
And so they killed him. They lost the word. They go to Solomon. Solomon comes out. They find Hiram Biff, and they try to raise him from the dead. With what they call the grip of the lion's paw. So they use these first grips of the Masons. You know, they have their secret handshakes.
Right. Okay.
and they try the handshakes of the first and second degree, and it doesn't work. And then they use this called the grip of the lion's paw, and they raise up Hiram Abiff, and he stands up and he whispers a word, and then he dies again. And they call this the replacement word because the real magic word of the Freemasons, they say, is lost now until future generations can figure it out. But actually the word they whisper when they raise the dude playing Hiram Abiff on what they call the 5 points of fellowship, they put their feet together and their knees in a certain way and cheek to cheek and chest to chest, and they whisper this word. Do you want me to tell you right now?
Yes, of course we do.
The word is Maha Bone.
Maha Bone. How do you, can you spell that for us?
M-A-H-H-A-B-O-N-E. Maha Bone.
Maha B-O-N-E. And what in the world does that mean?
That is the replacement for the lost word of Freemasonry. And you'll have to Google that and look up, you know, figure it out for yourself. But that's the magic word of the third degree.
Wow. Okay. That is super.
But we do have a book called Maha Bone, which was written like in the 1800s. And this guy who went through the whole thing, and then decided that it was devil worship and wrote this book called Maha Bone.
Wow. Well, and if you understand, you know, to me, I don't have a lot of Freemason friends. I've only actually got one who's a third degree, and he won't talk to me about it at all, you know, but, it seems like they're pretty Luciferian. I mean, from what I've researched looking at, what's that guy? The guy that wrote the book from, Mandel House. Is that right? I can't think now off the top of my head, but, seems like a lot of Luciferian type stuff going on in the Freemasons there, Jamie.
Definitely. They do worship the pentagram. That's one of the bright lights of Freemasonry when they remove the blind. If you ever go into a Mason lodge, I really recommend finding the biggest Mason temple near you and just go take a tour.
Can you do that? You can go take a tour?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And what are we looking for?
Just look around the lodge room. Look at what's above the throne. Look at the altars. They're all different, and all the lodge rooms have a theme. So like if you go to Philadelphia, the Benjamin Franklin Lodge in Philadelphia, that is an amazing place. Just mind blowing with the architecture and art. But they have an Egyptian room. They have a Jacobean room. They have a regular lodge room. So every lodge room is kind of set up in the same way, but they all have a different theme. So go take a tour of your local Mason temple, and the bigger the better, and get some pictures and ask questions.
Wow, I totally recommend doing that. I had no idea. I thought that you had to know 6 different Masons or whatever to even get an invite into one of their lodges. So I'd definitely recommend that. I'd love to see some pictures from the inside. I mean, that I've seen, you always have that typical black and white checkered floor. But aside from that, I don't really know much else.
Well, if you go to Freeman TV to the photography section, we have pictures of lodges from around the world. We got New York City. We got Australia. We got Philadelphia. We got Los Angeles. We got Kansas City. I mean, every time we go to a major city, we go to the Mason Temple and take pictures. So go to the photography section. You can see all the weird stuff in there.
Very cool. That's at freemantv.com in case you missed that out there, ladies and gentlemen, in the photography section. Jamie, I'll go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt you.
If you live close to D.C., please go to the Temple of the 33rd, because that's pretty much the creepiest place you'll ever see.
What's in there that's so creepy?
So that's right in Washington, D.C., right outside, they have 2 giant sphinxes guarding the door. They have their main lodge room is huge, and it's this big, giant black marble altar. And just to go in there and get your mind blown, you'll see.
Copy that. What's the connection with all this Egyptian stuff, Jamie? I'm trying to figure that out. The sphinxes at the temple, that seems strange to me. Why do we see so much of this Egyptian mystery school stuff appearing, you know, in these arenas?
Because pretty much the main mystery play of antiquity and what they copy a lot is the story of Osiris being killed by Set. So okay. Osiris was the king of Egypt, god king, and his wife was Isis, and his brother was Set. And Set killed Osiris and cut him up into 12 pieces and sent them all different directions. And Isis, this is the mystery play that they're reenacting. She has to go around and collect all the pieces of Osiris to raise him back from the dead. But she could not find the penis. So she makes a golden penis, and this is how she conceives Horus. and raises Osiris, but then he becomes the god of the underworld, and so that's where you see him being the green guy in the underworld.
Okay.
But this is the obelisk. So every obelisk you see is a representation of Osiris's golden phallus that was lost.
Wait, and so am I mistaken that the largest obelisk on Earth is in Washington, D.C. as well?
Exactly, yes.
That seems really unusual to me, Jamie.
It's not unusual when you know the script, because they have a sphinx and an obelisk on the river in London, on the Thames River right there.
Right.
They have an obelisk in the courtyard of the Vatican. Right? Mm-hmm. So these three major city states that are ruling the world right now, America is the military arm, England is the financial arm, and the Vatican is the religious arm of the New World Order. And in each of these three things, you have this giant obelisk being worshipped.
Do we see a whole, is there anything Disney related with the Egyptian stuff? I've been watching a show, I can't remember, I should have done more preparation, but there's a show that's a kid's show, and it seems like it's full chock-a-block full of Masonic symbols and ancient, you know, alien type stuff. It's about the kid who lives with his uncle, and they go on all these mysteries. What's the name of that show?
Something Falls.
Yeah, it's Mystery Falls. That's what it's called. Mystery Falls. A lot of Egyptian stuff showing up in that, but are there other places where the Egyptian stuff show up in?
The uncle wears a Shriner's cap.
Absolutely he does. I mean, that you couldn't go through a scene in that movie without spending 20 minutes picking out, you know, goofy occultic, like, cryptic stuff.
And everything.
Right.
But definitely, the Shriners are part, of the Masonic Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the older generations, and I think they're the pedophilic ones, because they are all about the kids and parades and hospitals. And if you go to George Washington Masonic Memorial in Alexandria, right next to D.C., it's a big it's in the shape of an obelisk with two wings on the side, so it looks like a penis. There's a big tower and two wings, right?
Right.
On either side. So there's a phallus right there. But when we went in there to take the tour, they put us in the elevator, and the elevator accidentally stops at like 2.5 or something, and the doors kind of like ding open, and the people are freaking out because no one is supposed to see what's on floor 2.5, and they're like, oh, this is off limits. And we go to the third floor, where they have a Tower of Babel. They have a everything in there is Jewish, almost. Like, they have pomegranate trees, they have a history of Jewish tales, just everything almost in there is Hebrew on the higher floors. But in the basement is the Shriner's place, where they have this whole display of like these glittery Shriner's hats. Have you ever seen the ones with all the jewels on them?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just dazzling. But then this is where they keep the this big train that goes around, like this model train choo-choo set. But it's huge. I mean, it's like yards long. But that right there was a key to me, because the whole the name for the mind control program, one of the secret names, is called the Freedom Train.
Wow.
So trains have a lot of connotations with this dark spells being passed down generation from generation, because it takes a train.
Wow. Right? I've got to cut you off, Jamie. I apologize. We're out of time. Absolutely amazing hour. Thank you so much for sharing all this information with us.
Yeah, no worries. Next time.
Next time. We have a lot more to get to, apparently, because these people aren't going to stop anytime soon. So again, Jamie, I wish you a wonderful day. Thank you again for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, the one and only Kevin Baker will be with us for the full 2 hours. Make sure you tune in for that. And keep it right here at TFR for Roger Sales' show coming up just now.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.